Reading to you from the 23rd chapter of Luke and with the 28th verse. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what will happen in the dry? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic and gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I'll tell you, dear friends, preaching is not easy. If you think it is, try it. But it is so rewarding. Oh my, when I get phone calls from people I introduced to Christ years ago, and I talk to their family. This one lady, I led her daddy to the Lord, and her mother and her sister and her cousin and her aunt. And she said, Cecil, you know, daddy died not too long ago, but he died so well because you told him about Jesus. Oh, friends, that's rewarding. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. If you got a troubled heart, listen tonight. I think it'll be good for you. Okay, let's hit the Lord ask for us, all right? I'm reading to you from the 40th chapter of Isaiah and with the 8th verse. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. I've listed this as God's eternal word. You say, Cecil, nothing lasts forever. Well, the Bible tells us the Word of God stands forever. You either believe it or you don't. And if you don't believe that His Word stands forever, you might as well turn your radio off because you won't believe this message either. See, the Word of God is always under attack by the world, by the bleeding heart liberals who say there's no hell, who does not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, who do not believe God created heaven and earth, and who do not believe in the resurrection story. Those people are sad. Hey, did you know our president don't want the day of prayer in America? All the other presidents had it, but not Obama. He don't want to do that because we're not praying to the right God. See, he prays to Allah, but we praise to our eternal God, the one that made the earth, the one that sent his son into the world to die for us. Just think, here's a man who has never sinned, not one day in his life. Oh, he was tempted, just like you and I, but he never sinned. Of course, friends, if he had sinned, he wouldn't be qualified to be the Savior of the world. But he didn't sin, so He took my sins, and He took your sins upon Him, and He became sin for us. And while He was hanging on that cross, that cruel Roman cross, God the Father turned His head away from His Son. And I never forget that as a baby Christian when I heard it. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I cried. Why would God turn His back on His Son when He sent Him into the world? Because God is a righteous, holy God, and He cannot look on sin. So when you and I sin, He looks at the blood of Jesus. And if you've been born again, the blood covers you. In fact, You know, if they read this book and can't believe in all of the above mentioned, they can't read, period. You know, even many of the so-called evangelicals do not believe much of God's Word. I'm sure you've heard this story. It's not original. I heard it was a young Christian. One time this pastor, he preached, and so the church decided to buy him a new Bible. They bought a new Bible, and then they cut out the things out of the Bible that he didn't believe. And when he got it, he said, "What is this, some kind of a joke?" "No, Pastor, this is no joke. We just cut out the things that you don't believe." Friends, listen, did you know just because a man stands behind the pulpit and preaches does not mean that he even knows Jesus? Oh, I know. We preachers, we kind of think we're kind of smart. Well, I don't feel that way. I'm so thankful that I understand what I understand. Oh, there's so much of this Bible I don't truly understand. And all this prophecy and stuff and revelation. But you know what I don't understand? I just grasp it by faith. So why do men preach and then not give an invitation for the lost to accept Jesus? There are literally thousands of churches who do not extend invitations after they preach on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Perhaps they don't believe in instant salvation. They believe that a man has to work or earn merit with God first. Well, that's wrong. When you recognize that you are a sinner and repent of your sins, Jesus comes in and saves your soul. Where was Zacchaeus saved in the morning that he met Jesus and he was sitting up on that old sycamore tree on the way down? He was saved on the way between the sycamore limb and the ground. It wasn't later. It was immediate. When we repent, it's instantaneous. So I've heard people say, "Well, you know, brother, you're going to work at it, and you got to work at it and find out if that's what you want." I knew what I wanted when I invited Christ into my heart. I knew I was a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. But what I didn't know, that God had actually loved me. And friends, just read John 3:16. If you're an unbeliever tonight and you're listening, turn to John 3:16. And say, "For God so loved you," put your name in there, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, I love that scripture. Every time I sign my autograph and books and stuff, I always put John 3:16, because that's what the Holy Spirit used on me the morning I gave my heart to Jesus. But tactics keep passing away. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Issues in life change. I know that. But God or his word does not change. Now, time marches on. But I'm going to ask you, whose drum roll are you marching to? Now, the command of the Lord is to preach the gospel to every living creature. That's not changed. To be witnesses for Jesus, that's not changed. But the Word of God stands. Hey, folks, I remember when I first saw my first talkie movie. Like, it scared me to death. I remember when I saw the first airplane. And I remember when I saw my first electric lights. But things have changed immensely since I was a little boy. This Bible is the infallible Word of God. No one thing has changed as far as God has spoken. His promises have not changed. The plan of salvation has not changed, even though many a preacher, churches, and denominations have tried to change it so as to please themselves. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us not to be evangelistic. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to quit winning the lost. Now, the word revival and repent have almost been deleted from religious circles today. Revival means we have gotten too religious. Repent was used during the early days of Christianity, but it's not been popular today. It's always been in the Word of God. Psalms 119:89. Your works, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Many people really believe that salvation is a I hope so thing. But the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. Some of you tonight say, Cecil, I don't know whether I have eternal life. Well, then no doubt you don't. Let me be quick to qualify that statement. Some believe that they are saved by grace and then kept saved by good works. Then you might have lusted after a woman today at church. It lost your salvation. Wrong. God said to those who believe on His Son has eternal life. I don't care what your church or your preacher or your denomination teaches. Let God be truth and let man be a liar. It will always be the Word of God. Isaiah 48 again. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. Not just tomorrow, but forever. Just remember, beloved, forever, forever, and forever. Now, the Word of God stands, and I read in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we always also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted. It was accepted not as a word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You who know Christ as Lord and Savior can tell the lost, if they ask you, how do you know this Bible is God's Word and is it true? Well, I got some news for you. You give them your personal testimony, and that's one of my gripes. Today, churches all over America and all around the world, they don't have testimony meetings anymore. People don't tell how they met Jesus or what He's done in their lives. And no wonder people are not being saved in your church. They don't know. You know, I tell you, I'd rather hear a testimony from a born-again believer than I would some gas bag preacher stands up there for an hour and flaps his lip and nothing happens. 1 Corinthians 5:17. We who were lost heard the Word of God proclaimed. We heard that if we repent of our sins and would receive Jesus Christ, we would be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Friends, listen. It is not how religious you are or how many gifts of the Spirit you possessed. It's how do you love Jesus. Well, I know education is important. But believe me, it is no substitute for serving the Lord. You know, the Bible speaks about those who are always learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Talk to a Jehovah's Witness. Talk to a Mormon. Talk to a Catholic. Hey, I'm not mad at them. I'm just telling you, they don't tell the truth. Because the Mormons, they won't accept the Bible as authority. They have to have one more for that whoremonger Smith, which was my great-great-great-grandfather. Yes, what he was. And they believe him. Well, he was a liar from the beginning. You know, I think I told you about this a long time ago. There was a revival being held in somewhere in Oklahoma. And there was a man that was kind of subnormal. I had a subnormal IQ, I should say. And during this revival, this dear man accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, there was a guy in a church that liked to make fun of him because he wore strapped overalls to church. Well, after they heard he accepted Christ, they gave him a great big old Bible and told him God wanted him to go out and tell sinners about Jesus. Friends, he carried that old Bible, and when they'd say, Luke, what do you got? He'd tell them that he had for the Bible, and he led more people to Christ than anyone in that church during their revival. Now, who had the low IQ? Friends, listen to me. I was blessed. I was so blessed because I was trained by one of the greatest preachers God ever put on this earth. Now I'm going to ask you, how many preachers, right? I'll tell you right now, here in Denver, Colorado, you're an alcoholic. You're in a motel, and you're going to take your life. And all of a sudden, you decide maybe you should call a preacher and talk to him one more time, like I did, before you commit suicide. How many preachers do you think would say, come to my home? Or, if you're not sober enough, I'll come pick you up. And that's exactly what Tom Baird said to me. Well, when I got to his house, I cried till there was no more tears. And all that he said, Jesus loves you, Cecil. And that's when him and I come to an argument. I said, preacher, there's not a word of truth in that. What do you mean, he said. Well, I said, if God loves me so much, why'd he take my baby sister? Why'd he take my mom when she suffered so long? Why'd he take my dad? Why did I have to be partially raised with the meanest stepmother that ever lived? Would lock me in a basement and abuse me and beat me. He said, Cecil, Jesus loves you. He didn't deviate from the Word of God. He quoted John 3:16 and he said, for God so loved Cecil Mole that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, friends, I've said this a million times. I knew no theology. I knew I was a sinner. I read in the Bible when I was a little boy that drunkards don't go to heaven, and I'd signed that book that I would never drink with God's help. Well, then I fell on my knees and I cried out, God, if you're up there, here's my heart, here's my life. I sold out for Jesus. I truly did. Have I always done everything that God wants me to do? No. Am I perfect? No. But I am saved and I'm forgiven. And I hope you can say that tonight. The Word of God stands for something. It tells our young people and our old people alike how to live and how to die and how to worship and how to get anything you need. It is in the Word of God. Everything you need to know to get through life is in the Bible. You heard the story about these two unbelieving attorneys, atheists. They decided they would truly get into the Bible and disprove it to the world. Well, they both got in the Bible, and guess what happened? Both of them got under conviction, and both of them gave their hearts to Jesus. You can't read this Bible with an open heart and not find Christ. That's why these lost people that carry the Bible around, they don't believe it. The gift of God is eternal life, and he stands with outstretched arms. He says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I was heavy laden. I was burdened down with sin, and I knew I was sorry. But I couldn't believe that God could forgive me. But he did. And I'm able to tell that story to alcoholics around the world, that there's hope. The Bible stands high above everything else. Einstein was a brain. Thomas Edison was a brain. Henry Ford and on. But the Bible stands miles above them. Hey, friends, our space program is something. Our computers are out of this world. But it was God who gave the man the brains to discover all these things, not man. Now you read in Psalm 138, 2, I will bow toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted your name and your word. Well, this all being true, I ask you, where do you stand? Well, our lives are like the grass. What does it say in Isaiah 48? The grass withers and the flowers fall. And then we read in James 4:14, Why not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Beloved, are you building your life on that which will stand forever? Oh, friends, listen. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Or are you ashamed of Christ? Let me ask you, where will you spend eternity? I urge you, my listeners, to make that eternal Word of God priority in your life. Oh, friends, listen. You are the only one who can make this decision. Father in heaven, I thank you, God, that I could tell this story, a true story, of what happened to men before me and what happened in my life. Lost, doomed, and damned, and I was crying all the time. I was lonely. I was empty. I had nothing to live for, and especially when my family turned away. My brothers turned against me. My sister turned against me. I had no friends. And even after I was saved, they wouldn't accept me. But, oh, thank you, Lord, I was faithful. Prayed for them for years and years, and all of my brothers and my sisters, my mom, my dad are in heaven today. Boy, Lord, the Moes are going to have a revival. But, Father, I want to hug Jesus because he's the one that made it all. Well, friends, listen, I want to know, what are you going to do with Jesus tonight? You say, oh, come on, Cecil, I go to church. I've been baptized. I pay my bills. I don't beat my dog and my wife. Well, that's good and commendable. I do commend you for it, but that won't get you into heaven. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, friends, listen. I'm going to give an invitation that, like I always do, all these 54 years I've been preaching, I give an invitation. I don't want you to pray this prayer unless you really mean business with God, because it'll get you in a lot of trouble if you do. But if the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head and pray this powerful, powerful prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me for all the evil things I've done in my life and for how I've treated you. And Father, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. No, I don't. I won't use your name on the air. I sure won't. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I don't care where you go to church, but boy howdy, I'm concerned where you spend eternity. If you can't afford that car, please get on the phone and call me collect. I'll accept that charge. I'll even send you my movie free if you call and ask for it. 303-471-8534.
And now I am no longer the same. got this blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. Oh, I'll shout.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, would you be sure and pray for my daughter-in-law, Bonnie Moe. She's in very serious condition, and they may have to take her to Mayo Brother Clinic. Pray for her. And pray for Bud and Betty. Bless their heart. They're on my heart. And pray for that church in the Dalles. They're having a revival next month. And pray they'll have a revival and not a series of eating meetings where they get out and visit and win souls. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, listen, I want you to pray for me and my wife as we go to prison next week. Pray that God will give us souls. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.